So I don't think too many of you would disagree with me if I said that choices matter. And we are faced with decisions every day. I mean, this morning we woke up and I had to make decision. Do I get out of bed or do I stay in bed? During the week, do I get out of bed and do I stay in bed or go to work? Do I go to church this morning or do we go to the diner for breakfast? Are we going to visit the family this afternoon or are we just going to stay home and relax? But that's not just for these little things that we need to make choices and decisions, but it's also about life choices. And the choices we make will place us on a path. Either a path that will help me become that person that God intended me to be, or lead me down a path to become the person that God did not intend me to be. So the question is, which path am I going to choose? Against this backdrop, I'm going to take you to two passages. Our main passage is Exodus 30. You're going to start at verse 12. I'm going to read that in a second. But just a little backdrop to get us into that from the New Testament. Paul, in the letter to the Corinthians, first letter, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he has this whole problem. The people in Corinth were not all the same kind of Christian. Let me explain what I mean with that. Some of them were Jewish Christians. Some of them were Christians from the pagan world. Some of them were Christians from a world where they knew nothing about any religion. And they've all become Christians. But now they also bring all of their traditions with them. And so at some stage, there's this struggle about, can we eat the meat that was sacrificed to a pagan god and eat that? Is that not sacrilegious? Can we drink the wine that was sacrificed and everything that was sacrificed there? And it really became this bone of contention between them. And so they asked Paul, help us a little bit with this. But the real thing that we actually should see what they're asking and struggling with is this, is how do we honor God? How do we devote our lives to God in such a way that we honor God in everything and glorify God in everything so that we become that person that God intended me to be? So Paul hears all of this stuff and then Paul gives an answer, and it's an amazing answer because he doesn't take sides. Paul writes, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, he says, so here's the thing. So whether you eat or whether you drink or whatever you do, do it all, says Paul, for the glory of God. Whatever you do, there's the answer. If you do that to the glory of God, that's the way that you should be going. It's not about eating or drinking or right or wrong. It's about, what are you doing? And are you doing this to honor God? And are you doing this to the glory of God? But as I read that, I'm sure my question is the question that you're sitting with and saying, okay, that's cool. Do it all for the glory of God. What does it mean to live to the glory of God, especially in this world in which we live, this 20th century that throws so many things at you and so many new things coming and things that just boggle my mind? How do I live to the glory of God in my job, where there's tension and struggles? How do I live to the glory of God in my relationships? How do I live to the glory of God in decisions I need to make, in the struggles that I'm facing? How do I live to the glory of God? What does that mean? So to help us with that, it's going to take us to our passage for today. It comes from Exodus chapter 33. I'm going to start reading at verse 12. But before we start reading, let me give you a little background, because it's actually a little fun background to this. And by the way, in September, I'm doing a series for you on the book of Exodus on being free. So there's something to look forward to. This might just be a little bit of a taste of what's coming. So Exodus 33, where we are going, it starts off a little earlier. Moses goes up on the mountain, Sinai or Horeb, whichever place you read. Sometimes the names are just different. So he's on the mountain to get the 10 words from God. He stays away a little too long. People get antsy, and so they get Aaron To help them make this golden calf, Moses comes down. He's ticked off. God is even more ticked off. And God says, take them. You lead them. Take them away. But I'm not going with you, because if I would to go with them, I won't help myself. I'm so angry at them. I might just kill them. So go on. Do this without me. God's angry. Moses is angry, but Moses is even more scared. So Moses calls for a meeting with God. And so they meet in their usual meeting place, the tent of meeting, or the tabernacle, as we sometimes know it. So our little conversation that we are going to listen to is this moment after God said, I'm ticked off. I don't want anything to do with them. You take them. You lead them. And Moses says, whoa, hold on. I can't do this. Let's talk about this in the tent of meeting. So this is what we read. Verse 12. So Moses said to the Lord, you've been telling me, lead these people, but you've not let me know whom you will send with me. You've said, I know you by name, and you've found favor in me. I want to say, cool. But then Moses says, so if you're pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. And remember that this nation is your people. And I get this big smile on my face, and I'm thinking, Moses, you have guts, right? So Moses just reminds God. He says, God, can we just talk about this for a second? This was never my plan. You're the one who came and fetched me behind the flocks. You're the one who appeared to me in the burning bush. You're the one who took me right back to Egypt and said, lead my people out of Egypt. You're the one who did all these things. I'm just the guy that you appointed to do this. So can I remind you? Wasn't my plan. I can't do this. I can't do this alone. That's for sure. And just by the way, God, these are your people. Isn't that a beautiful little bit of a reminder to God? God, your people, don't you just give them to me? So God answers. Verse 14. The Lord replied, my presence. In Hebrew, it's panayim, which is face. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you, and I know you by name. Wow. Wow, if I was God, I might have got stuck into Moses a little bit, right? God doesn't. He says, I'm listening, and I'll do this. And then the Lord says these beautiful, beautiful words. I am pleased with you, and I know your name. Boy, that's my prayer. If that's all that God says of me, I'm a happy man. And I wake up in the morning to hear God say, good morning, Aubrey, I know your name, and I am pleased with you. When I say thank you for my lunch at lunchtime, to hear the Lord say, hey, Aubrey, it's good. I've seen you've done a lot of work through the day. I am pleased with you. And tonight, as I do my devotions, and God says, good night, Aubrey. Sleep well, because I am pleased with you. What a wonderful thing to hear. I know your name. Will you hear that? I know your name. You're not a number for God. You're not on a list somewhere. God knows your name because of Jesus. And when God looks at you and you are living a God-honoring life, trying to live to the glory of God, and I'm getting there in a second, God says, I am pleased with you. I remember he said that to someone that we know well by the name of Jesus. You are my son, and I am well pleased with you. So you think Moses is okay, and he says, good God, we're on the same page, let's go. Moses is not done with God yet. Verse 18, boy, this guy. Then Moses said, Now show me your glory. It's like, holy moly, Moses, get with a plan, buddy. You saw the burning bush that didn't burn out. You heard God speak from the bush. You saw your staff turn into a snake and back into a staff again. You're the one who saw those 10 wonders that God did in Egypt. Sometimes people call them plagues. You're the one who stood there at the Reed Sea with your staff, opened it up, walked with God's people through that. You were up on the mountain not too long ago with God, writing down the 10 words. Now you're sitting with God in the tent of meeting, and you, Moses, have the gall to say to God, show me your glory. Wow. And again, God surprises us. God answers him. And this is God's answer. Verse 19, just going to read the first line with you. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you. So let me walk you back for a moment. When Moses says, show me your glory, he's using this beautiful word in Hebrew called kavod. Kavod, when we go back right to the root of that word, it talks about the essence or the substance of something. So when Moses says to God, God, show me your glory, he's saying, God, show me your substance. Show me your essence. Show me what makes you, you. I don't want to just be the guy who walks with them and leads them. I want to know you. Show me your glory. Here's the thing. How can we live to God's glory if we don't know the essence of God and the substance of God? If we haven't, can I put this in quotation marks? If we haven't seen God. And then God says, you want to see my glory? There's my glory. I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you. God's goodness, my friends, if we go look at this, is God showing up. God showing up at my job where things are tense and it's difficult and things are really hard, and God shows up and guides me and shows me the way. God showing up in my relationships that are sometimes messed and guides me to heal them, to restore them. God's goodness is God showing up in the financial mess that I've made with my life. God's goodness is God showing up in my fears and my dreads and my hurts and my shame and saying, I love you. I know your name. I care about you. Show me your glory. Why? My glory is my goodness. Do you know the goodness of God? We have a song that we sing about the goodness of God, right? Your goodness just follows me. David wrote about that. He says, the goodness and the love of the Lord, they will follow me all the days of my life. The goodness of God takes me to green pastures where I can lie down when I am tired, when I am struggling, when I am overwhelmed. And God says, lie down, I'm there, I'll take care of you. The goodness of God takes me to quiet waters where I can rest and I can quench my soul. The goodness of God leads me on the right paths of life. Even when sometimes they go through the deepest, darkest valleys, I know that the goodness of the Lord will be there. The goodness of God prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and they look on and they can't touch me because the goodness of God is there for me. I live from the goodness of God every day. And when I leave this world, I will see the goodness of God because I will dwell in the goodness of the house of the Lord forever. Show me your glory. I will let my goodness pass in front of you. Maybe that's all that we need to pray. Lord, thank you for your goodness. But God isn't done. Show me your glory, says Moses. And God says, I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you. Then number two, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have, and then God uses these wonderful covenant words in the Hebrew. I will have mercy, chesed, on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion, ruchamah, on whom I will have compassion. But, he said, you can't see my face, for no one may see me and live. Show me your glory. And God says, I will proclaim my name, the Lord. Because the name of the Lord is a promise. The word for Lord in the Hebrew year is that sacred, beautiful word, Yahweh. Remember when Moses met God at that burning bush and he said, who are you? Who will I tell the people? Who sent me? And the Lord said, you go back to them and you tell them, Echyeh asher echyeh. I am who I am. I am Yahweh. I am the Lord. I am who I am. That's the promise. I will be who I need to be. I will become who I need to become. I will do what I need to do. I will be there when I need to be there. I will carry you when I need to carry you. I will walk with you when I need to walk with you. I will rejoice with you when I need to rejoice with you. I will lament with you when you are crying. My name is my glory. My name is the Lord, and nothing in the world can change the Lord and the Lord's care and the Lord's promise. I am who I am, and I will be that for you. Nothing can change that. Show me your glory. I am the Lord. I am the one who provides for you so that you may be generous and bless others. I am the one who satisfies all of your needs so that your desires might be pure and your life might be pure and you might live a pure and holy life filled with my glory before me. I am the one who heals your soul and the needs of your soul so that when you are hurt and people are hurting you, you are able to move on and able to turn the other cheek. For I will show you my glory. My glory is in my name. I am who I am. I am the Lord. So you see, my friends, here's the thing. Living to God's glory, to God's honor. It's not about doing all kinds of things, keeping all kinds of little rules, trying harder, doing more. It's about making a choice to live in the presence of the Lord. To live in the essence of God. And to allow God to be God and the goodness of God to overwhelm you. The problem is, says Paul in Romans, we've all sinned and we're all far from the glory of God. We're all glory deprived. And that's why we say, show me your glory. Let me end the story and then I'm going to take you somewhere else, which is amazing. Then the Lord said, verse 21, there's a place near me where you may stand on a rock. And when my glory, my kavod, my essence passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Oh my goodness, I will cover you with my hand. Jesus, look at God's hand. Just imagine. You want to see my glory? Well, I'll show you my hand. And then says the Lord, I will remove my hand and you will see my back. My face must not be seen. And then we turn the page. And we go into the New Testament, the book of John. John writes in the first chapter in verse 14. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. And we have seen His glory. The glory of the one and only Son of God, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Show me your glory, we say. And God says, there is my Son. And we have seen His glory. Maybe now I understand Paul a little better in Corinthians. Whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. For we have seen His glory. Amen. Pray with me. Father God, thank You for Your goodness. Your goodness, Lord, comes every day. We know Your goodness. We've seen it in the way that You are a Father to us. In the way, Lord Jesus, that You stand before the Father for us. In the way, Holy Spirit of God, You live in us and through us. We live every day in Your glory, Lord, because Your essence, Your Spirit is in us and we live through Him. Help us then to live every day in the goodness, in the name, in the glory of God. Amen.